district. That's all I'm arguing, well, the reason here is we've all been subjected to a great deal of commercial controversy about fatty acids, saturated fatty acids, monounsaturated fatty acids, polyunsaturated fatty acids, trans fatty acids. Good deal of the drink about your high. And the problem is that despite all the vast amount of work which has been done in this field, there still a shortage of hard facts and greatly questions which still are answered. There was a lot of the evidence about the any damaging effect of saturated fatty acids. There have been radical trials of comparison with the patients in Britain who had a high intake, who had a low intake. And the good understanding of the effect of fatty acids on the etiology of cardiovascular disease and the biochemical effects which take place are still lacking. One is about the precise effects of specific acids, because although the commercial people love them all together, saturated acids, polyunsaturated, it's perfectly clear that specific acids must have different effects. And the question of which does what is still not fully resolved. Now tonight we're very fortunate to have David Holland here, Research Director of Scotia Pharmaceuticals and a recognised international authority in this field, the editor of one of the standard books in this field. And so without more ado, I'm going to ask David if he would throw a bit of light on the subject for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much for the invitation. I think light is almost certainly the last thing that anybody can throw on this this controversy, and I hope nobody is going to expect me to give any answers, because I'm certainly not. What I would like to do, however, is perhaps really talk a little about the history and to demonstrate, I think, how some of the confusion has arisen and how even very eminent people can sometimes be very deliberately misleading, and how those misleading notions can be perpetuated almost indefinitely, even when they are known to be wrong, without anybody having the guts to stand up and say so and correct them. So with that proviso, I'm certainly not going to give you any answers, but I hope by the end of the evening, or the end, you may find that the question a little more interesting than it was at the beginning. Could I have the first slide, please? So, butter or margarine. Well, in essence, it boils down to a discussion of the roles of these three broad elements, classified appropriately, the trans and positional isomers of the essential fatty acids. They've been classified with the polyunsaturates rather than with the saturates. This problem has become risen much more to the consciousness of the scientific community in the last 3 years, with the publication of some large but controversial studies, notably one from Harvard Medical School, linking trans isomers of essential fatty acids to an increased risk of coronary disease. And now people are aware of the problem, but there certainly aren't any answers. So what are the main constituents of butter and margarine? And again, much of the literature in popular writing and in dietitians' textbooks and so on really is rather elementary in making a comparison between butter and margarine. Unfortunately, that isn't good enough, because what you really have to do is to distinguish between butter, hard margarine, and soft margarine. Butter, of course, does contain a lot of saturated fats, and nobody's arguing about that. Soft margarine contains a lot of linoleic acid, but it also contains fair amounts of trans and positional isomers of linoleic acid. At least it did until the last 3 years, when the manufacturers have been somewhat of a panic and have greatly reduced the trans isomer contents of soft margarines. Hard margarine, however, is quite different. It contains quite a lot of saturated fats, but really quite large amounts of positional and trans isomers of unsaturated fats. And it is in many ways rather unfortunate that for perhaps 20 years people were encouraged to eat margarine instead of butter without any attempt to distinguish between sorts of margarine, and in fact it's very doubtful as to whether the advice led to any real change in the consumption of desirable or undesirable fats in the great majority of the population. Fats and heart disease. I'd like really to look a little at the evidence and to really, I think, begin to suggest to you that almost all the hard-line positions in this field are probably not particularly valid. One of the uncomfortable facts is that the great majority of heart attacks in the population occur in people whose cholesterol levels are above the 10th percentile and below the 90th percentile. And if you remove people below the 10th and above the 90th percentile from the statistics, there's actually remarkably little relationship between the 10th and 90th percentiles of any relationship between fat and cholesterol or cholesterol and heart disease. If you actually look at the statistics, you find that the much vaunted relationship between cholesterol and heart disease and saturated fat intake and heart disease